We are gathered here today to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Mike Spurlock and Philip Girth, as the Lord is raising them up as shepherds and overseers here of New Song Community Church. And in the authority that God has given myself and Jack Stockdale today, we as elders ordain them, publicly declaring and conferring on them the authority they will share with us to love and serve, feed, care for, protect the flock of God here at New Song. We have witnessed God's work in the lives of these men. They're examples of service, and together with you, we have validated their qualifications for the role of elder. Thank you for your part in that process. And today we officially recognize these men as elders and shepherds raised up by God from among us to serve his people. We would like to begin by welcoming family and friends and honored guests who are with us today, either in the room or online. And today Mike has some family members, his oldest son Chris and his girlfriend Jamel. Welcome. And online, their oldest daughter Sarah and Susanna and Peter are out there, and David is at college. Good to see you out there online. Welcome to our special service today. And then also here in the room, we have three former elders of New Song. I'd like to recognize Chris Phillips and Mark Harger and John Hockler. Thank you for joining us for this special occasion. And afterwards, after the ceremony this morning, you'll have a chance to come up and greet Mike and Phil and the other elders as well. So the centerpiece of today's occasion is known as the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, found in John 17. And in this prayer, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, recounted his obedient care of the flock to his Father, the flock that the Father had entrusted to him. And it serves as a model for elders and pastors to follow in their own care of the flock. In a moment, I will recite John chapter 17 to focus our time today, and you're invited to follow along with me. I'll be using the ESV translation. After the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus led them on a walk to the garden where he would be arrested. And on that walk, he continued to relate important last words, including this special prayer. Nowhere else in Scripture do we see such an intimate conversation between the Son and the Father, revealing who he was, why he came, where he was going, and his desire for us. So picture Jesus surrounded by the 11 disciples just after dark, the full moon rising in the east, and lifting his hands and eyes to the Father, praying aloud for the benefit of the disciples who were listening, as Judas was on his way with the temple guard. Jesus begins this prayer describing the hour, not the year, not the month, not the day, but the specific hour fixed by the Father's authority from the foundation of the world. Hundreds and thousands of years of prophecy about to climax in this very moment that the Scripture might be fulfilled. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. John chapter 17. Let us briefly examine the duties our chief shepherd called out and cited in his care for the Father's flock. I completed the work you gave me to do. And in completing that Father's work, he was a living example. He said, I showed them your name and your glory. I prayed for them. I kept them in your name and guarded them. I gave them your word. I sent them. I consecrated myself. I set myself apart for their sake. And I loved them as you loved me. Jesus imparted the heart of the Father that they would then in turn impart to others. Jesus modeled the flow, recognizing that everything came from the Father through him to the disciples. And he gave everything that the Father had given him to the ones the Father had given him. And then he prayed for us today. We who through the generations would receive the Father through the disciples, Jesus' objective was the Father's objective, that people would believe God sent the Son and know the Father through him. And most important of all, Jesus showed us the love of the Father. This is a timeless example to every pastor and elder, a job description to follow. So at this time, I'd like Jack and Mike and Phil to join me on the platform. So what do we recognize? We here at New Song, we say we recognize elders. What do we recognize in these men? In Phil, I recognize the gift of faith. If you have not heard one of Phil's faith stories, you need to ask him how over and over in his own life as a child and in his life as a father, God has provided miraculously for them time after time in clever, miraculous ways. And it would really be an encouragement to you to find him sometime and ask him to tell you some of those stories. He has a gift of faith. He also has a passion for the truth. When he teaches and preaches, you can see that passion is evident. But most of all, I recognize and feel that he's what I call a lifer in the kingdom. He was born a pastor's son, and his children are now pastor's kids. He's one of those men who has committed his entire life to serving in God's kingdom. So we recognize that in Phil today. And Mike, what do we recognize about Mike? Have you ever know some of those church events where there's only a few people there? Mike's one of them. Mike is faithful. He's always there. No matter when he's needed or called on, he's always there. He's faithful. And not only that, he initiates service to others. I hear stories of him and his wife showing up at someone's house to serve them or to minister to them without being asked. He's a compulsive pastor at heart. And whether it's on the racquetball court or in a small group, you'll find him pastoring New Songers and sharing the gospel. And he and his wife have led small groups for decades, even before they came to New Song. And right after they got here, they started another one. They've been running now for probably 8 years. So Mike is a pastor at heart. And so today, we recognize these qualities as well as the New Testament qualification for elders in these men. So now I'm going to ask Jack to share a few words.
As you all know, we have an enemy, and he is sometimes called the accuser of the brethren. So he likes to point the finger at us. And one of the things he accuses us of is inadequacy. And I just want to take this opportunity to admonish you men and prepare yourselves for that accusation from our enemy that you're not adequate to do this very weighty, to take care of this weighty responsibility and execute these responsibilities. And I just want to share from 2 Corinthians 3. Remember that back in the first century, communication was quite limited, and so apostles or would-be apostles or leaders would kind of move from church to church. And are they the real deal? Are they bona fide leaders? Are they kind of fakers and posers? And so they would carry with them letters of commendation that were supposedly from another body of believers saying, yeah, they're the real deal. Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need as some letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So you all are the proof positive that these men have been raised up by the Holy Spirit, the way that God has worked through them to help you all to grow in Christ is the proof that they are adequate, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts, your human hearts, your lives. Then he says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when the devil says, you're not adequate. You can agree with him to a certain extent, say, I'm not adequate to do a lot of things, but I'm adequate to serve. I'm adequate to serve God's people. So you are adequate in the Lord, and you all can take and apply that in your lives as well. You're not pastors yourselves, but sometimes the devil may accuse you of inadequacy, that you can't serve God. And if you think of yourself simply, I'm just a servant of other people. Can you do that? Can you serve others? Well, yeah, I think I can do that. That'll help you with the inadequacy accusation. One other quick thing I just want to mention. I was over at Mike's house yesterday. He's helping me get more organized in my life, which I appreciate that from him. But we were just talking, and he was sharing about how he realized that now, and I think we all probably perceive that the atmosphere of our culture is such that we perhaps are looking at greater persecution down the road. I don't know, but it very well could be. We're seeing more and more pressure applied to Christians in different ways. So he said, I realized that as a leader, that I have a target on my back that the non-leaders wouldn't have. And it really made me step back, he said, and ask myself, am I really ready to lay down my life for the flock? And I just want to encourage you all that Mike's ready for that. He told me that he was. And who knows if it would ever come to that. But hey, in some countries it has. And we can't stand here and say that it would never come to that in our country, that even our own government perhaps would go after Christian leaders, jail them or worse. Hey, it could happen. But just be comforted and encouraged by the fact that these men are prepared to give their lives if it would ever come to that. So I'm heartened by that. You should be too.
And now I've asked Mike and Phil to each take a minute to share what's on their heart this morning as we approach this occasion.
It's my desire to serve in the body of Christ here at New Song to the greatest extent for which God gives me the grace to do so. And I feel particularly called to ministry for the purpose of building up the body of Christ in accordance with Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In the kingdom, God calls us to be servant-oriented. He calls leaders to be servant-oriented. This is the opposite of how the world views leadership. Servant-oriented leadership means first to serve our Lord and second to serve his followers. When considering this further, sometimes there is no difference between the two. Sometimes serving our Lord is synonymous with serving one another. And so we're operating by grace, and I'm glad because I'm going to need a lot of grace. But I was thinking more about this, and grace isn't the most important thing. There's something more important, and that is love. We wouldn't have grace if it wasn't for love, if it wasn't the fact that God loves us and sent his Son to die for us. And so the goal of any of our ministry should be love, whether it is focused upon the body of Christ, which is his church, or it is focused on seekers needing a lifeline to save them from a lost and dying world.
The scriptures say, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. I realize that today I am being recognized as an elder, but I am also recognizing that the Lord has put things into my life, a particular set of skills, a particular set of tools that you cannot manufacture well in the flesh. that these are things that the Holy Spirit must develop in you. I have laid down in green pastures, and I have been led to still waters. And sometimes it seems like all I've done is just slept and drank and grazed. But along the way, the Lord put things into me. And it was just because I was following Him. And it's the same with all of you. Not everybody will take the position of elder. Not everybody is supposed to. But the Lord will fulfill His purpose for you if you just keep listening to the shepherd and keep following the shepherd. I wasn't faithful my whole life, but I kept listening again and again. And the Lord put things into me. He taught me how to bind up the brokenhearted. He taught me how to love the prickly and difficult. He taught me how to encourage the weak. He taught me how to proclaim the kingdom. He taught me how to defend the flock. So I recognize what the Lord has put into me this morning as well.
So Mike Spurlock and Philip Girth, today you pledge your lives as agents of the kingdom of God, personally aligning your will with the King and devoting your lives to carrying out His mission to make Him known and to care for His people. I will now present you with 12 commitments based on the prayer of Jesus in John 17. And we understand that none of us can live any aspect of the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace which God supplies. In anticipation of the Spirit's help and the constant availability of God's grace, please affirm your agreement to each commitment with the words, "I will." So will you fulfill the duties of shepherd, overseer, and elder under the authority delegated to you from the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit?
I will.
Will you follow the example of Jesus and maintain God the Father as your source of all that is necessary to accomplish His work on the earth?
I will.
Will you lead others to eternal life in the only true God and the Son that He has sent?
I will.
Will you demonstrate God's glory, character, and name to those He has given you?
I will.
Will you faithfully study, live, and teach God's word in truth?
I will.
Will you pray regularly for our Father to keep His little ones from the evil one?
I will.
Will you guard the flock entrusted to your care?
I will.
Will you seek out and send out others in service of our King?
I will.
Will you set yourself apart from the world, whatever the cost, as a testimony to God's truth?
I will.
Will you model joy in God's word amidst a world filled with hate?
I will.
Will you pursue your own unity with the Father through the Son and promote this same unity among those who would believe in Him?
I will.
Finally, above all else, will you allow the flow of the Father's love through you to everyone in your care?
I will.
Amen. So now to the congregation, both those present in this room and those online. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And in John 17, four times Jesus prayed that we would all be one, as He and the Father are one. So as the elders rely on God's Spirit to fulfill their duties, so must the flock of God rely on God's Spirit to pursue unity and obedience to Christ. I'm going to ask six commitments now from the congregation of New Song Community Church. And if you agree, please affirm your responses with the words, "We will." Will you affirm that these men are called by God to be elders of New Song Community Church?
No.
Will you obey these elders as they obey the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ?
We will.
No.
Will you support these elders with prayer and labor beside them in the work of God's kingdom?
We will.
Will you pursue the unity that Jesus prayed for all of us in John 17?
We will.
We will.
Will you receive and believe and practice the truth of God's word as delivered by these elders?
We will.
Will you hold these men accountable to the covenant that they have pledged in your presence today?
We will.
All right. In a few minutes, we are going to pray for these men. And we would invite you to pray along for them as well from your seat or online in just a moment. But as we reflect on John 17, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, his example for us and for these men, we're going to play a song, ask you to listen along. And this is a song by Kerry Job called "The Cause of Christ." At this time, I'm going to invite the wives and children living in the household, anyway, forward for these men. Kathy, Debbie, Natalie, Ethan, Ella. And if you don't mind coming over here, we can try to see you on the screen at home as well.
Yeah.
All right. Ethan, you're hiding back there. Come on. Come on around there. All right. There he is. The wives and children of these elders are members of this body, as are we. They are not held to a higher standard than anyone else. And while they are not elders themselves, they share the sacrifice of their husband and father in service to the flock. We have an enemy whose goal is to shatter the unity that Jesus prayed for us, especially within the families of leaders. And despite all this, they will also share the joys and the reward of service in God's kingdom. So let's pray for them now. Father, we thank you for the godly example of these men and their families. Thank you for shepherding them to this day in your kingdom. And we know that they will share the sacrifices and joys of ministry ahead. And I ask that your perfect love would fill them and fortify their family bond. I do not ask that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So at this time, we are going to pray for these elders. Jack and I are going to pray for them. And you're welcome to pray along quietly from your seat. If you want to extend your hand towards them, you can do that. Those at home, sitting on the couch, wherever you are, you're welcome to do the same. Lift up these men in prayer. And then afterwards, we will have a time fellowship down front for those of you who are here who want to spend some time talking to them, Brad, congratulating them. So let's pray.
Father in heaven, we know that your kingdom is so unlike the kingdoms of this world. As Mike reminded us this morning, leaders are the servants of all. And in this world, leaders are served by everybody. But in your kingdom, leaders serve everybody. So thank you, Lord, that you've raised Phil and Mike up to be servant leaders. And Lord, I want to thank you for the authority that you have given to Ashley and me as elders. And again, Lord, as we think of this idea of authority, the world so abuses it, but Paul said that his authority was for the building up of others. So, Lord, in this godly authority that you've given to Ashley and me for the service of others, for the building up of other people, we just declare them, Mike and Phil, as now sharing in that authority. We invite them into that place of servant leadership with us. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who has raised them up as elders and overseers, as Phil reminded us. Lord, you placed things in their lives. We've, in different ways, been instruments of yours, different ones of us. Even apart from us, Lord, you've built things into their lives, and at the end of the day, it's been your work. So we recognize that today. We joyfully submit ourselves. Lord, I just say to you and before my brothers and sisters, I joyfully submit myself to these men in whom you have done a wonderful work. We know you aren't finished yet, Lord. We know you'll continue to work in them, to continue to grow them and more into your image. But thank you for what you've done, and we rejoice today and give you praise in Jesus' name.
Jesus prayed, "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Everything these men have is from you, Father. Gifts, callings, family, ministry, it's all from you. The strength, perseverance, wisdom, humility, and grace required of an elder is from you. The love, compassion, and care for the flock is from you. The courage, bravery, and boldness to defend against Satan in a world of hate is from you. The truth in which they love, walk, and operate is from you. Everything, everything that they have is from you. Give them strength to shoulder with you this new responsibility of elder leadership today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who gave us all things from the Father. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen." They have the piece of paper in hand. So it is my pleasure to present to you Mike Spurlock and Philip Girth, the newest elders of New Song Community Church. So please join me in congratulating them. Thank you so much for joining us for this special occasion today. Now, it's not over. Tonight at 5:15, the big Zoom will be happening online, where we will continue to celebrate what God is doing in New Song this last year and what he's got planned for us this year ahead. So I'd ask you to join us then online.